Have you ever heard of bunny chow? Or cook sisters? Babuiti? Chicken tikka? These are all dishes that shaped my world as a child, just because of migration. Come with me, Erica von Kaschke, as we pass the cinnamon stick to people who have come to Australia. Listen to their migration stories, to what they bring to the land down under, and what they get from it.
Welcome to The Cinnamon Stick. This is your host, Erica von Kaschke, and it's my great pleasure to welcome Gemma Manning from Gemstar to the show.
Thank you, Erica. Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here on your show.
So Gemma, tell us a bit about yourself. This show is normally about people from migrant or refugee backgrounds, so we like to trace their steps to Perth. Were you born and bred in Perth, or how did you get to Perth?
I hate to admit that no, I'm not from Perth, and I'm from the East Coast, which I know in my time of doing business in Perth, sometimes I don't know if that's a warm welcome or not when people find out I'm from Sydney. So I try to keep that a secret, but for the purpose of, yes, being open and having all my cards on the table, I'm not from Perth. I grew up in Sydney, spent my childhood in Sydney, and as a child moved around. So we moved actually to Cairns, and I spent a fair few years living in Cairns, and then finished my high school years in, mainly my upbringing was on the East Coast. It's a very long story as to how I got to do business and start a business in Perth. But I'm very, very delighted to just spend more time these days in Perth and have an actual business and a presence and a footprint in Western Australia.
Well, what I found is like when you, even if you move interstate, it's almost like being a migrant. So you'll be able to relate to lots of migrant stories.
Yeah. And I guess with me living in Singapore, now, so that's where I reside, and I also did a stint in Japan when I was a little bit younger, so I think it's, having experience living in different places is very enriching, and it kind of gives you a very good background and a different lens on things, I think. So I guess at the moment I'm living yet again kind of a fair way away from Australia, being here in Singapore.
Gemma, what has been the one thing in your journey or one piece of advice that has most shaped your life?
It's hard to boil it down, to be honest, Erica, to one thing. There's probably a couple of things. I'd say what stands out the most for me would be being true to yourself and being authentic, and I think that has stood me very well in business. And when we teach entrepreneurship, we look at one of the key traits, if you like, or also a part of being a success as an entrepreneur, is being true to yourself and being yourself, backing yourself, believing in yourself, and being totally authentic. And I think that has stood with me for my whole life's journey to get to this point. I think in business I have over the years kind of gone on at a different journey at different times, as sometimes I felt like I couldn't be myself and tried to be somebody else and realize that doesn't work either. So yeah. I think through my own learning, when I've tried to deviate or kind of take a different path because I've been worried about being authentic and being myself, especially as a woman in business, as a female business leader, I've come across my own fair share of different challenges along the way, and at times I've thought I've had to kind of balance my own style or change myself to fit in. And I think where I'm at the moment, I'm actually just embarking on a book and I turned 40 last November. So I think, you get to a point where you do reflect on your journey and look at things. And I think the one thing that stands out for me is I've never tried to fit in, and when I have, it doesn't work. So by me just following my path is where I'm best placed, is just to keep kind of on my journey and on my path, and at the same time backing myself. I think with all of that comes a few other things that I think have shaped and shaped my journey, which I would say also not being shy of hard work, having a very strong hard work ethic is something I grew up around. I grew up in business, and it's always, success doesn't come overnight. And I think, being able to roll up your sleeves and get in there and understand that it's a journey and you need to work hard for things that you want to achieve, something else that I have kind of carry forward with me.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. And I guess with that take on life, it also eliminates this fear of competition. People always look out at competition, because when you know you're on your own journey, you're less worried about what other people are doing. Yeah. That's what I found. So how did you say that you grew up in business? Like, is that how your journey on this entrepreneurship started?
Not really, actually. I talk about my upbringing because I was around business as a very young girl. We ran a fish farm, and that's why we moved to Cairns with my family. So I, you know, grew up around having a fish farm and understanding then what it was. We were supplying aquariums across Australia with fish. We then moved to Sydney and had an aquarium, and I, so a retail business. And I guess I saw the good, the bad, and the ugly. I saw a very, what really business can be like, can be incredibly hard. And I, it wasn't very nice, I guess, what I kind of experienced in a way through seeing my own mother in business go through some real hardship and a really tough time. So I actually didn't want to go into business, to be honest. After experiencing that through my childhood and my teenage years, I didn't want my own business. I just wanted to work for somebody else and have a normal, what I called a normal life of being able to get a salary and, you know, have my annual leave and my, you know, do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just not having the stress of my own business. How I came into this world was more, I did start out in it with corporate marketing communications career. And then, so I still wasn't thinking of my own business when I went on maternity leave to have my first daughter, who's now 13. Her name's Charlotte. She's very instrumental to my story because it was actually having Charlotte that made me go into business. When I came back from maternity leave in my role at the time, management had changed and they weren't very welcoming as a return to work mother. Having a fairly pressured corporate gig, it wasn't a very welcoming environment for me to continue on with flexible work arrangements. So yeah. I was kind of forced out, if you like, in kind of a roundabout way. So hence, that's how I started my business, was I wasn't able to not work having my first daughter. So I've always worked. And I was in this situation where I couldn't actually quite fathom growing up as a girl, going to a girls' school, being told that girls can do anything, good education and empowerment, And then I got to the real world and realized it doesn't, everything I'd been taught at school in the real world doesn't actually necessarily translate. And I was quite shocked that the kind of how I was treated, I guess, when I had a baby. It was like all of a sudden, just because I had a baby, I was a different person overnight and I couldn't do my job anymore. It was kind of it took me a few years to actually kind of comprehend all of that. But I guess what that did, it was my springboard. It forced me, if you like, in a way to start my business. I needed to keep the income coming in. And I was approached by my former boss who had moved to Brisbane to run a telco. And he said, Gemma, come and consult to me. So I actually started a marketing consulting business, which I still run. That business is Manning & Co. And I started that as a 28-year-old.
Wow.
So we actually celebrate 13 years in business this month, March.
Oh, congratulations.
So, yes, everyone has their own different journey on how they fall into business, but that's my story.
Because particularly as a migrant, but I think it doesn't matter whether you're a migrant or not, age and gender seem to be obstacles. Or opportunity, you can see it viewed as an opportunity as well. So when you do your trainings, how do you incorporate that, your own journey and your own story?
My age has come up against me for sure. So when I was, and hence our program, because when I started business, I was 28. Yeah. I was considered incredibly young. I was incredibly young when I had my initial few corporate years, which were very accelerated with my career. So I was young and I was female, and that was like a double whammy against me. So maybe even in the Australian context, I still have these two challenges to come up against. And I guess I have part of my drive and motivation is to try to have a more level playing field. And for me, thinking, okay, just because I'm young and I'm female, I'm not going to let that get in the way of me being able to, you know, use my brain and have my business and be able to do all the things I should be able to do. And hence my passion for young people is because as a young person, I was in a very, had some very big roles very early on, and it's because I had great mentorship and I had people who believed in me and they could see something. And I always thank those people, and they really helped me accelerate this corporate career early on that then led to me having enough experience to start a marketing consulting business. But I also had a lot of people saying, you're too young and you don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, like a lot of naysayers. So I guess that kind of pulling you down, you know, being knocked down because of certain age and, you know, gender and all of that, that gave me the grit. And I think that is our key message in our entrepreneurs program, is that as an to run your own business, it's an incredibly rewarding thing. Empowered to create your own path and have that control of your own destiny, but it isn't for the faint-hearted, and it requires a grit. And I think when you've got that, when you have come up against some form of adversity, you know, I've had a few different things happen in my life that's probably where survival has kicked in, and that survival has helped me keep propelling myself forward in my business, because I have no option. I have to. And I think, you know, so all of those traits are really core for entrepreneurs, and it is deeply rewarding for me when I'm working with various people in this space and can see how they can flourish as well, with also a little bit of extra, you know, a bit of support and mentorship. And when I started my business as a 28-year-old, at that point in the Australian context, there still weren't that many women running their own businesses. There was a generation above me, a few notable business women, but I didn't find there weren't programs, there weren't the support, not such a thing like it is now. And I kind of wish I'd had more of that support. And I guess there are all those things combined that have led me to our Young Gems program, where I'm deeply passionate about helping others.
So can you tell our listeners in a nutshell, what is the Young Gems program?
So the Young Gems program is really around real world entrepreneurship. It's about it's not an academic approach or theoretical approach to entrepreneurship or skills required to run a business, which we also advocate can be transferable to any work environment. It comes from a real practical side of things where, you know, entrepreneurship is spoken about a lot now. Again, it wasn't spoken about when I first started business. There's a lot of myths, I think, out there. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of confusion around entrepreneurship and startups and then tech startups. And, if I don't have a tech startup business, I'm not going to be an entrepreneur. Like there's a lot of noise out there. We try to cut through that and really pair it back and look at, okay, what does it mean? What is entrepreneurship? What does it take to be an entrepreneur? And what are the skills that you need, the tools and skills to really be able to bring an idea to life? And we start with looking at the entrepreneur in you. And it's quite telling when you start to look at what's your own passion and purpose, and you start there. So we often get, you know, 99%, 9 out of 10 startups, businesses fail. Because they don't have an addressable market to start with, and they're being outcompeted. That's two of the top 5 reasons why startups fail. And so when you kind of look at some of those reasons and then kind of take a step back from that as well and look at, okay, well, it's not just about having something that you think's got the right features and benefits, or that's a really cool idea and that's going to stick. There's a lot of other considerations, but you also need to understand what's your passion and purpose. Is you're going to be doing this, and you're going to have to really love what you're doing, and then also understand that this, whatever you're going to be doing, needs to have an addressable market. And then we go from there as to what problem are you solving, and is there that market, etc. So it's a fairly comprehensive yet practical view of entrepreneurship. And we find that there's skills that any business is looking for as well in their employees to date. So all businesses need those entrepreneurial skills in their employees, because we're in such a different business world today with technology and disruption. You have to be agile, you have to be flexible, you have to think on your feet, you have to solve problems, you need to have analytical thinking. You need to also have resilience, you need to have all the soft skills attached. And a lot of that, our view is that entrepreneurship really kind of touches on a lot of those things. I guess our program is it kind of comes in a few different variations, if you like. We have a diploma format. Yeah. We have a short course, a boot camp. So we basically can look at it very comprehensively from the diploma format, and then kind of we distill it and pack it for certain different courses, short courses and programs. With what we've done to date with our Young Gems program, we have people, it's not just young in terms of demographic of young, it's also for people who are new to entrepreneurship, who might have a young business mind. Idea or their mind, yes, and they've never done something like this before. And so we work also with people who want a career change, or want to maybe make the move to exploring something that they're passionate about but haven't had maybe the opportunity, the confidence, or the being able to kind of explore it. So we work with all sorts of different people in this program. The program itself, I guess, came at helping young people at universities. Essentially, that's where the opportunity first arose, and then we kind of developed out the program. But it has gone a lot further over the few years. So that's where, with the other thing I'm incredibly passionate about, is taking that a step further and looking at inclusive entrepreneurship. And that's where We launched a program there in Western Australia for the deaf and the hard of hearing community last year, and we've started to really champion inclusive entrepreneurship and making sure that entrepreneurship is accessed by everyone, and it shouldn't be for a certain demographic. Something I'm, again, you can get a sense of certain issues I'm incredibly passionate about, but this sense of inclusive entrepreneurship is what I pitched actually in an idea myself about 5 years ago. And we've been working as a business to try to get to a little bit closer around launching our social impact venture, which, not to confuse things, but has a different name. But basically, the philosophy behind that is to help young disadvantaged people really kind of become independent and holistic individuals through a powerful education program, and then looking at real life and closing the loop in terms of real life opportunities and access to opportunities for skills development and really being able to nurture that into a working life. I had the opportunity to pitch this idea to Richard Branson, and over the years since that opportunity, we've been, as I said, working on it. So Young Gems was our first part of building out the education program. Originally, we were looking at education partners and various others as a way of doing it. But it just happened to be that we've managed to build the platform ourselves. We then have the real world experience to be able to train and mentor and do everything else to bring all those skills to life. I guess watch this space, because the official social impact venture that I think your community will be incredibly interested in will be officially launched hopefully in the next 12 months. But all of the things that we're talking about is because I really believe in a level playing field and giving. Also, like, everybody should have access to things that we take for granted at times, and education, and especially entrepreneurship education, is one of those things.
I'm really glad that you don't connect young just with age, because I feel like, especially for lots of migrant women, haven't always had that opportunity, or sometimes even for regular Australians, people have said, there's jobs in the secretarial business, go and become a secretary. But yet inside of them, they always have this yearning to be an entrepreneur, and they've got that, but they never have the courage to get out and actually do this. I really salute this.
Thank you. Well, just to elaborate on that, I mean, I'm very upfront with things that have happened to me, because again, I think it's part of the journey, but I've pretty much seen my mother through business, come to lose everything in life. And I think in Australia, you know, I read a Smith report a few years ago, especially around women, and how we have women who come into life later where they may have been married, had, you know, been the mother at home, then have come into divorce or whatever later in life, and have almost borderline poverty because there's not the superannuation there, there's not the safety net. Their job was to be at home, and now they need to skill themselves up because they don't have that. And there's a lot of cases. So yes, it's not just for young people, it's for people of all ages, really. And I think that there's a real need at the moment in Australia, but elsewhere in the world as well, for this kind of program.
What would success look like for you in terms of Young Gems?
With Young Gems, we're really focused on furthering the work we're doing in Australia. I'm obviously coming to you today from Singapore, but definitely in Australia, we're so delighted with the success of our program with the deaf and hard of hearing community in Western Australia, and then about the program that we're about to kick off for the migrant community and refugee community there. I really would like to see our program continue across all of Australia in remote communities and everywhere, so that we are really touching a lot of people and bringing that opportunity to people. We need a lot of partners to do that as well. So, I mean, I think partnerships for us is key, and we've had some great partnerships in Western Australia particularly. Yeah. So I'm just delighted of what we're achieving in WA first, and hopefully take that across to Australia, rest of Australia. But it's also a bigger vision mentioned here in Asia. We want to take this global, really, and really have impacts. It's outside of the businesses we touched briefly on, Money & Co and Gemstar, which are our, you know, corporate entities, and, you know, we do a whole host of stuff under those businesses. But that has all been the experience and the IP and everything that we've needed to feed into these programs. So my own personal goal is to dedicate myself more to this over the next few years, and really drive and hopefully continue to get transformational results. I have been blown away by, especially in our first cohort for the deaf and hard of hearing in Western Australia, the impact that this has had on individuals, our program, and the way we teach it. even more just from a personal journey and really transformational people coming in and understanding more about themselves, having more confidence, having more belief in themselves. And, you know, all it takes sometimes, and this is what I didn't have and this is why I want to give, is a little bit of that nurture, a little bit of that care and mentorship. When you have good, solid people around you, it's amazing, you know, the impact of that in itself. And, yeah, I've been blown away by some of the, you know, our cohorts who have come to talk to me about how transformational this has been for their lives.
And it is about shifting perceptions as well. My second oldest, a girl, has 40% blindness, so we're quite connected with visibility. In the past, you know, people would only contain what a person with a disability can do to a certain thing, but actually, like, through your work, it opens up a whole new world. You're giving people hope that they can do whatever they feel passionate about.
So. Absolutely, yeah. And we need to do more of it and champion that more. And, you know, we've had conversations here in Singapore with the Singapore government around the exact same thing. I mean, here it's even a bit more full on, where people with disabilities, it's in Asia, it's you're not seen, because we're in discussion now about really around, we need to change that, and we need to change it quickly, and we need to change it at all different levels. And I think this program's got the power of at least having some positive contribution and impact.
The program is very much, in the end, people have to pitch their idea to a business community. Yeah. Why is the pitching so important?
Because in life, it all comes down to first impressions and, you know, conveying very quickly your idea, you know. So every day we're pitching without necessarily thinking about it, but even just going for job interviews or, you know, meeting new people through a social networking group, without maybe being conscious of it, we are always pitching. In this case, to be able to take a business idea and pitch, we see, you know, you've got to give a very fast, quick, favorable impression of what you want to do if you are to get partners on board or get people to get on board with your vision and purpose. We also teach, though, in that pitching, there's a formula and a methodology that we look at, but it's also important. Most people are, again, kind of investing in you as the founder of a business or as somebody who owns that business idea. And that's where I come back to maybe where we started in the conversation about being authentic and being yourself. So being able to pitch and being able to convey an idea but being true to yourself throughout that is equally powerful for somebody to get to understand you quickly as you're pitching, but really kind of get, you know, so it's being true to, you know, your own personality throughout all of that.
So you've spent 5 years living in Asia. So what do you think is the most important lesson you've learned from your time there?
I'm so happy that I've had the opportunity to live abroad. So happy I've lived in Japan when I was younger and now living here in Singapore. I think living in a different country, it opens your eyes up to a bigger world as well. I mean, I have two daughters I mentioned earlier, Charlotte, who I started the business around, and Amelie, who is 10. And seeing my girls have, you know, this experience of living in a different country. You know, they're taught different things. It's far more of an international community. They're learning about different cultures. They've got friends from all around the world. It's incredibly enriching, and I can see that in their own growth and development. I've learnt, you know, you respect others, you respect other cultures. It's not all about the country that we're from. We're so many other people in the world, and different ways of doing things, different ways of doing business. Yeah. Our way is not always the right way or the highway type thing.
Yeah.
And I think when you live abroad, you have more appreciation for that. So it's a growth opportunity, I guess. And so I think from here, I've definitely grown personally and professionally. And but I feel that that's kind of enriching all at the same time.
I normally end the podcast by asking two similar questions to everybody, but I've tweaked it a little bit because English is your first language. So which phrase or word from another culture has most inspired you and why?
I mentioned I lived in Japan, so Japanese is a language that I speak. So I'm going to say "ganbatte," which actually means "go for it." And I think when I lived in Japan, everyone always said "ganbatte, Jema-chan," you know, go for it. And it does kind of inspire me to kind of keep going and to keep going for it. And when times are tough, or when I sometimes really want to give in from on this journey of trying to achieve all these, you know, drive the business, take the business internationally, do things that I'm told I can't do. I'm a female with two children. How can you possibly go and start your business in another country? All those kind of things, ganbatte, I come back to each and every time.
Oh, that's excellent. So good. So which Australian word or phrase do you use as a guide for your life, or that inspires you?
It's probably a similar word or concept to gambatte, but it's have a fair go. Again, it's around, I like the fact that in Australia we have that sense of let's give it a go and a fair go. I that's very important to me. I like to give people a go, and I think part of our Young Gems program, like I've hired people who have come through our Young Gems program who from different sectors, different backgrounds, might not necessarily be able to fit into a role that we have within our own business. I like to give people an opportunity and give a fair go. And I think that when you're given an opportunity, if you've got the right mindset, why not, you know, give it a go? And it's, you know, you bring everything to that when you are given that go. But I think we should be all, you know, giving people a fair go at things.
Yeah, I love that. Like, you know, as a migrant to Australia, I always felt like the nice thing about Australia is that people have grace for each other. You know, there's space, they allow space for you to grow and be who you are and, you know, find your spot. Yeah. So it's really lovely. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the show. It's been amazing speaking to you.
Thank you. No, it was lovely. Thank you for taking the time.
So that's it for this installment of the Cinnamon Stick. Keep the flavor going until next time.